Welcome to Westport Road Baptist Church. We're delighted that you've joined us for today's message. Westport Road Baptist Church is located at the corner of Hurstbourne Lane and Westport Road in Louisville, Kentucky. If you have a Bible, please have it handy and prepare your hearts and minds as we enter God's Word.
Amen. Thank you, Pris. Behold the Lamb. Thank you for ushering us into worship. We are so glad to see each of you that have come. Our regular members and attenders, guests alike, you're all welcome this evening for this special time of worship on this Good Friday evening. Please stand with me and let's sing together. going across. Praise and honor unto thee. Thank you. Please be seated. As you are, the Go Forth family comes now to lead us in our Lenten reading, placement of the symbol of sacrifice, and then to lead us in prayer.
This evening marks the end of the Lenten season. On Good Friday, Jesus was put to death upon the cross. This evening, we place the black shroud. The shroud represents the death of Jesus. Jesus willingly suffered and died on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins, as clearly seen in our scripture passage. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed."
Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray you graciously to behold us, your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and given into the hands of sinners, and to suffer death upon the cross, who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing "The Old Rugged Cross."
Oh, As we come on this Good Friday, this was the day that Jesus was crucified. About 9 in the morning, they took him to the cross, and he was nailed to the cross. For the next 6 hours, he hung upon the cross. And it's interesting, at around noon, there was a total eclipse, and the sky became black. And as Jesus suffered and died on the cross for our sins. One of the things that Jesus gave us that helps us to remember his sacrifice and what it means more than anything else is in the Lord's Supper. And if you are here today, we invite you and encourage you to take this meal with us. That helps us to remember on this Good Friday what Jesus did as he gave himself for our sins. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for the love that you have for us. We pray now, Lord, that you would help us to remember that salvation comes free from your grace, but it certainly was not cheap. It came at a very high price, the death of your Son. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you'll simply hold the elements as they're being passed, and we will take them together at the appropriate time. Thank you. know, here at West Park Road, we help sponsor a church plant called East Point Baptist Church, a new church plant over on the Old Henry Road area. And their pastor, Chris Billiter, called me yesterday and he said, "Chip, we're having an Easter egg hunt on Saturday. Can we borrow two coolers for the Easter egg hunt?" And I said, "Sure." I said, "I'm on my way to church right now. I'll take them, set them out for you, and you can pick them up." And he said, "Great." So then he called me this morning. He said, "Okay, I'm running by the church. Where do I pick up the coolers?" That was the first time I had thought of it since he had called me the day before. We forget things very easily. A lot of you are going to leave today, and you're not going to know where you parked your car. You're going to wander around the parking lot a little bit. We're not always real good when it comes to remembering things. And Jesus gave us this meal to always keep in our mind his sacrifice upon the cross. It was to be a constant reminder of the church of what Jesus did that night for us. So he took that bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way that night, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the New Testament. It is my blood, which was shed for you." You know, sometimes we do something like this meal and we don't really know what we're doing or what it's all about or how important it is or it isn't. Several years ago, when I pastored in Virginia, during vacation Bible school, the Bible school director got up and was leading the kids in a song, and it was kind of like a Brazilian theme for the thing, and they were doing a song called the Conga. And they just started out, and all the kids started yelling, "Let Chip do it with us." And so she stops and says, "Great, Chip, come up and do it with us." Well, I hadn't seen this song all week. I had no idea what they were doing. All I know is that they were doing the conga and some kind of dance. So I get up there and they start singing the conga to Jesus, whatever that is. And so I'm doing this number and I'm turning around and I'm just having a great time up there. You know, I'm congaing like all the other kids up there and everybody is dying laughing and pointing at me and everything. Well, I'm thinking, you know, it's surely not because I'm not a good dancer, because, I mean, you all can look up here right now and say, "That man's got rhythm," you know, when you look up there. So you know better than that. So I couldn't figure out, you know, what was going on, you know, why were they pointing at me and laughing. And then afterwards, my wife informed me, "Chip, they have particular motions that they're doing with the song, and you were just up there acting stupid and turning around and stuff." And so it was only then that I realized I didn't quite understand all that was going on in that particular song that night. Sometimes that's exactly what happens when we take the Lord's Supper. It's exactly what happens when we come to a night like Good Friday. We have a general idea of what's going on. We know, well, Good Friday, that's a cross thing, and Jesus dying for us and forgiving our sins, or something like that. We get a lot of that in our mind, but to really understand the impact and the importance of it sometimes isn't always there. And so we're going to take just a few minutes tonight, and we're going to talk about understanding what happened on the cross. Because unless you understand what happened on Good Friday, unless you really understood what happened on Good Friday, you're not going to really celebrate Easter with joy when that time comes. So let's first start out and say, why was Good Friday necessary in the first place? What caused it to be necessary? You know, we think about, you know, the cross and nails and blood and death and scourging and all this kind of stuff. It's not something we like to think about. I had one lady at a former church tell me, she said, "Man, I don't like all this cross stuff. It's just, you know, I just don't like thinking about it," or anything like that. So why was it necessary in the first place? And the reason it was necessary was, well, because of you all and because of me. That's why it was necessary. It was necessary because of us and our sins, because of our condition and what has happened in our lives. Over in Isaiah 59, verse 2, it says, "Your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have caused God's face to be hidden from you." So what happened was that God created us as his children in his image, and yet somewhere along the line we have all gone astray. Sin has entered into the world, and all of us have rebelled against God. And this rebellion, this sin that we have in our life, has separated us from God. And so God intended for us to be in relationship with him, but our sins are now building a wall and keeping us from God. Ephesians 2:12 says this, at the right time you were separated from Christ, you were excluded from citizenship in Israel, you were foreigners to the covenant of the promise, you had no hope, and God was not with you in this world. And not only that, it wasn't a condition where we were on life support or something. The wages of sin is what? Death. You're spiritually dead. So if you're a spiritually dead person because of their sins, there's nothing that you can do in order to save yourself. There's nothing that you can do to get back with God. You've built the wall, and it seems that the wall is permanent, and there's nothing that can get between you and God. And so that's our condition. So the whole premise of Good Friday is God is trying to do something to tear down the wall that is separating you from Him. So that's the first thing. The cross was necessary because of our condition. The second thing I think we need to understand when it comes to the cross is our worth and God's love for us. Our worth and God's love for us. Now, a lot of times when we think about the fact that we can't save ourselves and that we're sinners, what we think is, I'm a terrible person. I have no worth. I can't believe anybody would like me. I'm a miserable person, and God loved me even when I was a miserable person. And most Christians think that. I am a terrible, miserable person. There's no worth in me, and God loved me nonetheless. I'm here to tell you that's not the case at all. You are of infinite worth from the day that you were conceived. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made in God's image. You are God's child. And God created you for a special relationship with Him. And what has happened is that your sin has separated you from the intention God made you to have with Him. It's not that you are without worth. As a matter of fact, you are of so much worth to God that that's why Jesus died. The exact opposite of what we think. We think I'm a miserable, worthless person that God loved anyway, when the truth is you are a child of God created in His image of infinite worth, and your sin has separated you from God, and God would do anything to bring you back to Him and to restore the relationship He intended for you to have on the day that you were born. Listen to some of the things it said. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. It's not that we loved God. He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So it's the love that God has for us. You are His child. You are of infinite worth. I was reading a thing the other day about celebrity tattoos that celebrities bemoan after they get them. One was Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp used to date Winona Ryder, and he had Winona Forever tattooed upon his arm. The problem was 6 months later, they broke up. And so now he's got a tattoo that says Winona Forever. What's he do? So he had it changed to Wino Forever. Then there was from the Big Bang Theory, Kaley Cuoco. She had her husband's name and their anniversary of their wedding tattooed upon her back. And 13 months after they got married, they got divorced. And so that wasn't the best idea in the world. So she had that done over, and now she's got a big butterfly on her back. So it's not best to tattoo love on your body all the time, okay? But did you know that God has a tattoo? Anybody know that? God has a tattoo. I want to read you a really interesting verse over in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16. And listen to what it says. Can a mother ever forget the baby that fed at her breast? Will she not have compassion on the child that she gave birth to? Even if she could, I will never forget you. Look, you are engraved upon the palms of my hand, and your name is always before me. Now, Isaiah said that hundreds of years before Jesus died upon the cross. He said, look, your name is tattooed on the palm of God's hands. What's that mean? Every time you see the nail prints in Jesus' hand, it says your name to God. That's how much God loves you. That He looks, every time He looks at His nail prints, He sees your name. You were of infinite worth to God and value. So your sins have separated you from God, but God loves you and would do anything to bring you back to God. And that's the next thing that we see. So Jesus went and died upon the cross. But what happened upon the cross? What did he do? I'm going to run through this real quickly. But he basically did five things for us on the cross because he loved us. Five things he does on the cross because he loves us. First, he takes his sin, our sins upon him, and he cancels our debt. Our sins have separated us from God, and they're bringing God's judgment. Colossians 2:13 and 14 says, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave your sins. He canceled the charge of your legal indebtedness, which stood against you and condemned you. He took it away and nailed it to the cross." Your sins have been taken away. Your sins. Not just mine, your individual sins, the things you have done wrong, were taken and nailed upon the cross, and they no longer exist. When you give your life to Christ, the cross is all about God taking your sins, and now you've been set free from them. So that's one of the main things that has happened, why the cross took place, why this is a Good Friday. Our sins have been taken away, our debt has been canceled. A second thing that happened is not only are our sins taken away, because our sins have been taken away, we have been reconciled with God. God created you for relationship with him. Your sin separated you from God. The whole purpose of the cross is to bring you back into relationship with God. A lot of people think, well, I was saved so I can go to heaven. That is not why you were saved. That is a byproduct of your salvation. You will go to heaven. God didn't save you so you would go to heaven. God saved you to be in relationship with him for the rest of eternity. Nothing will ever keep you from that relationship again now that your sins have been forgiven. And even when you die, he'll raise you from the dead so that you will be with him forever. So that wall between us and God has now been removed. It's interesting that when you read the Gospels, that when Jesus died, we're told the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense to most people, some kind of weird religious thing, but it was very important. The veil of the temple, it separated where the normal people were, the worshipers, from the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies because it was considered the place where God lived. And when Jesus died, that veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, so nothing will ever separate you from the love of God again. And so your sins and your debt has been canceled and you've been reconciled with God. A third thing that's happened because of the cross of Christ is that you now have a new life. You're not the same person anymore. John calls it in chapter 3, being born again. How can you be born again? Because you were dead, remember, earlier in your sins. Now you are born again to a new life in Christ. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He bore our sins in his body up on the cross, so we have died to sin, and now we live for righteousness. By his wounds, we were healed." So all that has kept you back has now been taken away, and you are to live a new life of freedom in Christ. Number four, because of the cross, because of God's love for us, we now have a new relationship with other people. You have a new relationship with every person in this room and every person you're going to encounter, because this is the way it comes down. God loves every one of us. Jesus is dying so that we could be forgiven of our sins. In 1 John 4:11, John says this, "Dear friends, if God loved you so much that he died upon the cross for you, then you ought to start loving other people as well." Because those other people that you hate and don't like and stereotype and have prejudices against and everything else, guess what? They're children of God that Jesus died on the cross for. And so if you're going to love him, you need to start loving other people as well. So it's made a new relationship, not between you and God alone, but also with you and others. And then finally, it does give us eternal life and no condemnation. The byproduct of the cross is that we now we'll spend eternity with God in heaven. We have not only been forgiven of our sins, nothing will ever separate us from God. That very famous scripture we all know, John 3:16-17. "God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Somewhere along the line, we got this idea that God is looking down, wanting to get us. That God's this angry judge doing everything he meant. You had better straighten up. You had better follow what I tell you, or I'm going to get you if you don't. When it's the exact opposite. You are of such worth to God that he gave his one and only Son's life that you might live. He did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. That's what the cross is all about. And so we come on a day that was known for death and suffering and pain. And we call it good. And indeed it was. It was a good Friday. Not because of what happened, but because of what it did. And what happened that day was that the suffering of Jesus on the cross canceled your debt, reconciled you to God, caused you to be born again, brought you into relationship with one another, and gives you eternal life. Salvation may be free, but it is not cheap. And that is why this is a good, good Friday. As we look forward to Easter Sunday, as we understand Good Friday, it all begins to make sense. We're going to have a prayer. And as we do, I just want you to take a moment. There's a song? Huh? Okay, the choir's going to sing. I thought so. They told me they weren't done yet. The choir's going to sing. As they're singing, listen to the words. But more than that, think about what's been said. And just have a time with God yourself where you say, Lord, help me to remember what was done on this day for me so that I can really appreciate all that came about for my salvation. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you that you love us so much. My prayer, Lord, is that for every person here, we would better understand and better appreciate what that cross is all about. And when we understand what you did for us, oh Lord, it's going to cause us to live with such joy today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
As we close out this evening, I want to remind you that our prayer experience will still be open immediately after this service. If you've never been in it, down in the fellowship hall, you kind of go through the last week of the life of Jesus and his sufferings, and you're encouraged to do that when you leave if you've not already done that, and we hope that you can be a part of that prayer experience. Because of what happened on Good Friday, the story of the resurrection has such joy. Because without the resurrection, the cross is just a well-intentioned action where somebody died. But because of the resurrection, it becomes powerful and real, and there's such joy. So I hope that you can be here also on Easter Sunday. Don't forget, we're having three services, 8, 9:30, and 11 on Easter Sunday. And so I would encourage you to come and be a part of that as we're there. And to really come and celebrate with joy. Invite your friends, invite neighbors. Easter is the one time more than any other time of year people will come if you invite them. So invite them and get them here, and we're going to have a great time of worship on Easter Sunday. Also having two Easter egg hunts on that day, 9 and 12:20. And I look out there, and I see some of you all need to be at the Easter egg hunt. So, be there for that and have a good time. We're going to close, though, with a song that kind of says everything that we've been talking about. You stand as we sing, it's Jesus Paid It All.
Savior said, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Oh,
We thank you so much for being in this place tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to remember your sacrifice. God, thank you for sending your son to die for us. Without that, we would be nothing. God, we praise you for that. Thank you for being our Savior, walking with us through this life, God. We just cherish your presence tonight. Be with us this weekend as we look towards Easter morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hope you enjoyed today's lesson and that it spoke to you. If you have prayer needs or want more information about us, we invite you to stop by our website, mywrbc.org, and click on Contact. Please use the word podcast in the subject line. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Keyword, MyWRBC. At Westport Road Baptist Church, we love God and love people. Please join us for Sunday morning service at either 9:30 a.m. or 11 a.m. We also have Sunday school for all ages during both service times. Thanks again for listening, and join us next week for another message from God's Word.
Thank you.